A fascinating piece of music right there. Doina, that's the Romanian Jewish lament. Itzhak Perlman on the violin. And throughout history, Jewish writers, thinkers have shaped moral, artistic, intellectual views, the fabric of modern life today, from biblical storytelling to literature, music, ideas that influence our world today. And here in Canada, that legacy lives on through the Canadian Jewish Literary Awards, now marking their 11th year. Honoring the finest writing and Jewish themes, subjects, exploring displacement, longing, cultural identity, and more. And joining me now is Edward Trapunsky, the writer, broadcaster, and founder of the awards, which takes place Sunday, October 26th at 2 p.m. at the Al Green Theatre in Toronto. Edward, welcome. Wonderful to have you here.
How are you? It's nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you. Welcome to the Jukebox. Edward, take us right back to the beginning. How did the Canadian Jewish Literary Awards first come about, and how have they evolved over the past decade?
The Canadian Jewish Literary Awards are an offshoot of the Canadian Jewish Book Awards, which were started many years ago by a man called Adam Furstenberg, with the idea of encouraging publishers. It was really for publishers to publish books with Jewish themes. And at the time, there just weren't enough. And it evolved from then, and when I started 11 years ago, so really if you want to talk about the history is more like 30 years. But 10 years ago when I started it, it was just to professionalize a little bit, make the awards a little bit higher, and just to enhance it.
Wonderful. Well, that leads me to my next question. Who's eligible to be considered? Do the nominees have to be Jewish, or is it simply a focus on Canadian authors exploring Jewish themes?
Our mission is Jewish themes, Jewish ideas, and we encourage everybody who's writing on a Jewish theme to submit, and we've had non-Jewish writers many, many times over the years. You don't have to be Jewish to be able to submit. We're looking for more than mentioning a bagel instead of an English muffin in the book that you're writing. It's got to have some kind of Jewish connection to it.
Gotcha. Now, I noticed you have 9 categories, and that ranges from fiction and poetry to Yiddish, youth literature as well. How does your jury define those boundaries and have to make the tough calls for the awards?
We put out a call for submissions really with 8 categories. And we're looking for the best books. And this year happened to be a banner year. So we had 9 winners in 8 categories. Last year we had 6 winners because we just didn't find books that we felt qualified as well as they do this year. And we're very, very happy with this year because you might not be aware, but there's been sort of a freeze on books by Jewish writers and Jewish themes because of what's going on internationally. And we thought that we would have less books than ever. And indeed, this year we ended up having more books than we ever did before.
Right. Fascinating. Well, I'm just looking, could you maybe walk us through some of this year's laureates? Such an extraordinary range of voices and stories. I notice explorations of faith, freedom, personal journeys of rediscovery. Maybe walk us through some of the highlights.
Yes, I would be happy to. And it's what you'd mentioned earlier about the range of ideas and the range of things that happen to come out. That's what makes the event so interesting, because the writers elaborate on what they've been writing about and why. And really, it's fascinating to hear from them. So this year, in the memoir category, we have a book called No Jews Live Here by John Lawrence. And it's a book about his own background. His family comes from Hungary, and in Hungary there was a lot of difficulties being a Jew, and his family had put up a sign in front of their house that said, "No Jews live here." And then when they emigrated to Canada, they felt the same way, that they were under duress, and they never told John Lawrence that he was Jewish.
And that's not an uncommon story, yeah. You know, with Jewish life stretching, I think, over 1,000 years in Hungary, where it was so woven deeply into the nation's intellectual fabric.
Right, yes. You know, Canada's a, well, it used to be, it still is, I guess, a pretty benevolent place for Jews, but still, you always feel that you're looking over your shoulder about whether it's going to be a friendly place for you to live. It is generally, you know, people have history and they remember things and they want to protect themselves.
Of course, yes, yes. What about some of the highlights of winners close to home here? I know you have one of a bold Toronto painter who bridges abstraction, spiritual. That looks fascinating. Jewish culture by Andrew Keir.
Machel Teitelbaum has been a very influential painter. He's not recognized as much as he could be, although his son was the head of the Art Gallery of Ontario, Matthew Teitelbaum. But his work is really interesting because he like most artists, he looks at his own background, his own upbringing, and you see the Jewish themes within what Machel Teitelbaum has painted. You also see his Canadian background. He comes from Saskatchewan, and you'll see an amalgam of Jewish ideas and Canadian prairie ideas in the same painting. That's one of the things that makes him exciting.
You also have Holocaust history that you're bringing to young readers, very important today with the majority of survivors now in their late 80s. Tell us a little bit about how you're reaching young readers.
Holocaust is an interesting category because when this started, it was a very important category because there were testimonials by survivors. But we're talking about many, many years later, and we don't have as many survivors with us, and the stories have been told. This is a story by also a woman who is in her 90s, who's telling the story about her father and what it was like for him to live in a shtetl, a small village in Eastern Europe, and how he was able to overcome some of the difficulties of being poor and being an outcast in that society. Not every book is negative. You know, we talked about two where we talked about how the Jews have been repressed, not in Canada, but elsewhere. But there are some of these books that are really uplifting and not just about all the suffering.
Absolutely, yeah. And there are so many shared values, universal themes to explore throughout Jewish history. And that leads me to my next question. Why do you feel these awards matter beyond the Jewish community for Canadians as a whole?
Well, it's a lot of it is cross-cultural understanding. Nobody's hitting anybody over the head with these stories and saying, you have to read them. But it does give you an understanding of a culture, of a community, by following these stories, the various stories, not only the fiction, but the nonfiction as well.
Phenomenal. Well, the event takes place Sunday, October 26th at 2 p.m. at the Al Green Theater. That's at the Miles Nadal Jewish Community Center, 750 Spadina Avenue in Toronto. You can register and learn more. Admission is free at cjlawards.ca. Edward, anything else you'd like to tell us?
If you're not in Toronto, you can always catch the live stream. If you're interested in what we're doing, just tune in. Register and tune in.
Fantastic. Great. Edward, thank you so much. This is incredible. I'll definitely be tuning in. I'm passionate about Jewish history, culture, and Yiddish language. So
yeah, I thought you'd be interested also about Songs for the Brokenhearted, which is a bestseller, which is based on Yemeni music, but it's not the style of the station. That's part of the theme of what she's talking about, is that the Yemeni Jewish culture waned, and when she heard it, that's what got her to write this book.
Got it. Okay. Let's play a little lullaby here, one of our favorites on the jukebox, a Yiddish lullaby, Raisins and Almonds, featuring Netanya Davrath. And good luck to you, Edward, with the event coming up.
Thank you so much.